The Hardline, the greatest show on earth. Well, maybe just in St. Louis.
Out of all grown freak show, something to see.
Got him lined up
in waiting, taking bullets for me.
I'm a Mack truck.
I'm chucking down a one-way street.
You better move, bitch.
My tank's on E.
The Hardline with TJ Moe, Cam Jansen, John Hadley, Bob Ramsey, and who the hell else knows?
Welcome into the Hardline, 5-9 The Fan, KFNS, 5-9TheFan.com. We are live from Maggie O'Brien's here in Sunset Hills. This is, what, the third or fourth time we've been down here? This place is spectacular. Now, tomorrow we will be at the location down on Market Street. And, Rock, we are doing a giveaway of the Bud Light Zone for some blues tickets for Wednesdays. Can you clarify the requirements for everybody on this?
Yeah, get on down here to the Sunset Hills location today or the downtown location tomorrow, anytime between 10 and 3. Also have a special little hour today out here at Sunset Hills from 6 to 7 when Cam will be out here. And you can sign up for these tickets. If you come in with blues gear, you get a second entry. So, you know, even if you got a hat or anything that's in the car, and you can come down here, throw that on, and that will immediately double your chances to win two tickets in the Bud Light Zone, which means free drinks and food on Wednesday night. Just honestly something you can't beat.
So you have to tag the Facebook.
Yes, go ahead. Get on Twitter or Facebook. Tag both Maggie O'Brien's and 590 The Fan, or check in the way you can. Show us that you did that, and you'll get right in, get a third entry as well.
By the way, if you don't know how to do any of that, we will happily do it for you. Come on down. You say, I don't know what you're talking about with the social media stuff. Matt Rocchio will do it for you. You hand him your phone. If you want the tickets and cannot figure out how to tag people on Facebook and all that, we will be happy to enter you from your account. Come on down.
Can
we are
do
in
that
Sunset
for mine, please?
Hills.
I don't know.
Pretty cool. I don't know if you guys heard this or not, but your St. Louis Blues won the game last night 4-2. Bob Ramsey, by the way, out today. He is embarrassed about what he tweeted yesterday right after the second goal that was allowed in a minute and 59 seconds to tie the game at 2-2. Bob Ramsey tweeted out, Rammer STL, I'm going to give you the exact, if you guys want to go see this yourselves, you can retweet it 1,000 times over. Now 16 hours ago, and it is his most replied to tweet, game and series over. And then the Blues go on to win 4-2. So pretty good stuff there. In fact, if you want to relive the emotions of Bob Ramsey, pretty good. Here is his tweet storm. Did Edmondson learn nothing from Saturday? I'm sorry. That's now benchable. Your first touch. He's talking about all the crazy giveaways. Then he says, defensive giveaway number two, this time Parayko. Good grief. Just clean up that part of your game and life will be a lot easier. Then and he was nice enough to spell defenseman in the Canadian version.
With
he says
C.
Blues defensemen absolutely suck through 25 minutes. Then he says game and series over. And then he changed his tune a little bit. Blues defenseman having a nice foul offensive game. Awesome. It is too much to ask that they consider defending. Man, was I wrong about this one. Goes to show you, and really me, that it doesn't matter how, just get it done. Congrats, boys. And his last tweet, very happy for Bertuzzo, one of my favorites. For 3 years, I've always wondered why he keeps getting overlooked. So you want the emotions of last night? There it is in the words of Bob Ramsey, who just, look, he abandoned the show today. He said, guys, I am embarrassed as hell at what I tweeted out yesterday, game and series over, as the Blues go on to knot it at one game apiece, headed back to St. Louis, stealing home ice advantage.
I can tell you this. I'm still kind of trying to figure out what just happened last night. Because I did not, I'll tell you, TJ, after two periods, I was convinced there was no chance they were going to find a way to win that game. They were so outplayed. They kept turning the puck over. Even when they were up 2-0, I went, how are they up 2-0? They're just giving the puck chances left and right. Then they score. Couture, those two quick goals, and you're going, well, that's it for this. And I was in the same boat that Bob was in last night.
I guess I don't know anything about hockey, or I was watching a totally different game. Because I saw a carbon copy of the Blues on the other side. The neutral zone play for both teams was that of a non-playoff team. Well, they had equally as many turnovers that were as disgraceful as the Blues, and that's how they won the game.
They did late. They did a great job. The third period was completely different.
Yes.
And
but I'm talking about the Sharks. I'm talking about the Sharks were equally as bad as the Blues, and everybody's like, how did they do it?
Did,
well, yeah, they sucked too.
Especially on the first goal that Schwartz had. Uh-huh. It was a turnover. Blues took advantage in the second goal. There's no doubt about that. But the Blues were doing the same things in the first two periods that got them blown out in game one.
Sure.
And I thought, well, there's
but
no.
But the difference was now the Sharks were doing it too.
Yes, but I still didn't think there was any chance they were going to be able to amount enough, because when that was taking place, you could see the Sharks are going, the speed is just nothing that the Blues can compete with right now when they're flying like that. So I thought this thing was done. I was disappointed. Now, in the back of my mind, the veteran in me is going, look, it's a tie game. It's tied. Yes, they're, you know, the momentum's going San Jose's way, but they're only tied. It's not like you're down by two or three goals like you were the other night. So there's that part of me is going, well, there's still that chance, but the 50 years of being a Blues fan in me is going, yeah, this is where this ends.
Well, the 2 years of being a Blues fan in me felt pretty good about it.
See, there you go. Then they.
By the way, TJ Moe, Jim Huer here. We are live from Maggie O'Brien's here in Sunset Hills.
So third period starts. And things change. And the Blues are not getting stuck in their own zone. One of the small things, and we can maybe hear from Cam a little bit later on, instead of trying to go up the wall constantly to get the puck out of the zone, they used the center in the middle of the ice. From the hash boards, they were shooting the puck to the middle to either a center or a winger who was set up in the middle of the ice. A dangerous play, but that's how they were counteracting the Sharks from just continually turning the puck over inside their own blue line.
That's interesting. The announcers went the other direction. They were like, just get it up the boards. They threw it off.
But the boards wasn't working, so they were quick through it in the middle and then up the middle through the center of the ice, which is not the way you want it, but that's what they were able to do.
Never center the puck on defense, but it happens quite a lot. Yet, look, there's a lot there and there's a lot to work on, but I did not come away from last night's game thinking, Blues got their hands full, man. I just don't see how they're going to win another three games. I see how they can win another three games.
They showed us.
Yes.
Absolutely they did. So the third period takes place. It's something that we're probably not giving the Blues enough credit for. Go back to the elimination game with the Jets and the elimination game of the Stars. And they did it in the third period against San Jose. They did not give up any goals.
They have owned
goals
the third
scoring.
Period.
Yes. And at the time, I still couldn't believe it. They go, well, the Sharks haven't had a shot in 12 minutes. I go, how is that possible? They were all over the St. Louis Blues early on. The Blues got to get a little more credit, especially for myself, that, hey, you know what? Once they get it going defensively, they keep everybody away.
That's right.
Binnington sees the puck, and he makes the save.
Now, Binnington let him go five hole twice yesterday. That's unacceptable. And it's a rarity that you say that. But both times, really, for him, look, it's okay to get beat, to get five-hole twice. That's not what you expect out of a guy that has been the leader in the clubhouse here. There are a couple huge things that we keep saying. They cannot win the series if these things don't change, and then those things don't change and they win the series. So we're not going to go there anymore. But the two big things that you would imagine have to be fixed if you're going to win the cup is this. They're 0 for 18 on their last 18 power plays. Yeah. They have not converted a power play now in five games, and Vladimir Tarasenko continues. He was a little bit better in the first period, but continues to do virtually nothing five on five. And the power play goals are hit, obviously, over their last 18, right? So he has largely disappeared. He looked a little bit better. He was skating better yesterday. He will fly around and hit you a little bit, usually when you're not expecting it, and he can get out in front of you because he's so fast. But the reality is he's offering very little right now, and you know, this rekindles the discussion. Nobody's having this discussion now, but this right now, this I don't know, almost the entire playoffs here are why every season or two for this stretch, people say, should we think about trading 91? Because he goes from an unbelievable offensive guy to offering absolutely nothing at all.
I'm not into that. The trade thing. He still has a skill set that no one on this team has. That his ability to score the goal. His ability to be the sniper. Now, he's not producing right now. Part of his deal right now, he's just not getting any space. I mean, look when he gets the puck. He has no space. Part of that is on him.
There you go.
100%. He's got to work harder. He's got to get himself some space. But the other side of it is he's a marked guy, and a couple other guys got to step up and make plays every once in a while. That's just the reality of the situation. Yes, we keep saying Tarasenko has got to score or we aren't going to win if you're a Blues fan. But the reality is you're still here. You're still winning. You're 1-1 in this in the thing. Now, the power play thing, agreed. It's brutal to watch. I'm sure anybody who was watching last night was in the same boat that we were watching at my house going, maybe we should start declining. Better in 5-on-5. So no, we don't want
Ben Fredrickson tweeted that yesterday.
The other side of that is the last power play, Berube finally did start switching up personnel. And he was going with two defensemen on the point, with Parayko and Dunn out there, as opposed to leaving Petro out there with four forwards. And I'm not saying it didn't produce a goal, but it was a different look. They got some more chances out of it. They didn't score, but I think Berube just finally said, all right, I have to change it. He doesn't have a choice. And if they find a goal or two in the next two games out of the power play, that helps put you over the top right now.
During this playoffs, I believe they have scored two power play goals and allowed one on their own power play.
Which is,
maybe two now. Actually, didn't they allow a shorty against Winnipeg?
Against Dallas, too, I believe.
Okay.
I think it might be three shorties.
So a lot of different things to hit here, but there is very, very clearly something wrong with Ryan O'Reilly. He can't win a faceoff. Ryan O'Reilly was 0-for-5 in the first period, and then I don't think they had him take it. He won 7 yesterday. He lost 14, right? We've talked about, is this a little bit of home cooking when you're in Dallas? Because in St. Louis, I believe, now I didn't check game 7 now, but I believe every game they were in St. Louis, they were at least 50% or above. And every game they were in Dallas, they were in the 30-ish percent. They were always under 40, right? So a little bit of that is, all right, if you tally it until, 5 seconds until somebody turns Buck over, sure, you could say you won the faceoff. But he has now not been 50% himself since, let's see, game 5 against Dallas. He was 52%.
Sorry to interrupt.
Think about this. I will go backwards until, because he was actually, he was his normal self until the second game against Dallas. Okay, so starting in game 2 against Dallas, here is what he's had. 41%, 40%, 34%, 52%, 31, 46, 46, 33. He's had one game of their last 8 that he has been over 50%, and a lot of the time he's in the 30s.
You said 33. Is that last night?
33 last night. He lost 14. He won 7. Now, these are 5-on-5 face-offs. No, this is a hockey reference. And then
so it just overall doesn't break.
Oh, actually, these are
period.
In all situations, the way they have it set up here. So
I thought he was better later.
Well, he must have been because he was 0-for-5 in the first.
Yeah.
So after the first period, he was 7-9.
So, yeah.
Pretty close.
Yeah, much better. Here's something, and I'm in agreement with you. You're a little disappointed with the numbers that he's got up, but I saw a graphic last night on the postgame show on NBC that makes you completely think differently about Ryan O'Reilly. The graphic was he has now scored a point in 7 consecutive road playoff games. That is a franchise record. Now, think of it that way, and you go, well, wait a minute. Yeah. How is it possible that he's done something no one in the franchise's history has ever done? And yet we're still going, we need more from the guy.
Well, here's why. Because I don't count second assists in my hockey scoring.
Fair
and
enough.
I hate the way that they do points.
Fair enough.
It just so happens if you touch the puck when it was in the offensive zone, they say, tally a point for that guy. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe in that. That's how Petrangelo gets a ton of his points, because at some point he rims it around the back and Pat Maroon skates around with it for 10 seconds and gets it to somebody and they score. Look, Petro didn't assist on anything. He wrapped it around, rimmed it around the boards. I don't know that that's happening with Ryan O'Reilly, but I have not noticed that he has been the guy. We saw the goal. It was a brilliant goal 2 games ago.
Yep. That was a sweet move.
But that's about the only flash we've seen of the Ryan O'Reilly we saw from the regular season. Regular season, he was routinely setting Tarasenko up. He would get 2 defenders and the goalie to come his way, and then you'd have a wide-open net. We're seeing none of that.
He hasn't been the same player, I agree. But he hasn't been brutally, brutally, brutally awful. He may not win every faceoff, but he still plays in the defensive zone, which is important.
He is minus 5 in the playoffs.
I get that. I still see him coming back, helping out on defense.
Oh, certainly. Certainly. My point is the line is the no production, and he's the guy that was leading the production.
Right.
So you're going to get scored on. That's life in the playoffs. You have to score, too.
He's got to be better point-wise. I agree. But I just brought up that number because when I saw it last night, I went, really? 7 straight points in 7 road games? That's pretty good. But I still don't feel that he's played anywhere near his true high level that we need from him for this hockey team to be successful.
So he assisted on the Vince Dunn goal last night, which, again, a little bit reluctant to tell you that that was an assist. The guy shot it from the top, and it got through 9 people. Okay, did you really assist on that?
Speaking of Jekyll and Hyde guy, Vince Dunn was that last night.
Yeah.
Early on, he was flipping the puck to anyone who wanted it in a teal uniform in the first period.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going, my goodness, what's it going to take to get him right? And then a little bit of a switch with the D pairings. He's playing with Parayko, and he changed completely. He obviously gets some confidence when he scores the goal. He's just a completely different player by the end of that game. Skating with the puck again, making the right plays, gaining the blue line or the red line, and then dumping it in. He was a completely different player.
According to Hockey Reference, he did not have a point in Game 7 against the Stars.
We're talking about
O'Reilly.
No, this was road games.
Oh, road games.
Road
okay.
games only.
Okay.
So,
gotcha.
My point was disappointing, but if you're coming up in road games, you're doing pretty good.
Yeah, that's right.
So, but again, it kind of depends on how you want to put your numbers out there and look at it.
Yeah,
But I still believe there's a lot more to get from Ryan O'Reilly.
Some text from you guys, 855-282-8255. Doug's prison wallet says, San Jose had a stretch of 15 minutes of only one shot, so it's like hockey blobs analysis out there running around in that body. Jim, I think he's talking about you.
Look, if you go that long, you're doing something right. You got to give them a little more credit. When they're doing things well, like they were in the third period, they're as dominant as anybody in the league.
That's right. Westbrook Wonderboy, the power play flowed much better with Perron and Tarasenko on the weak sides. Perfectly sets up the quick release one-timers. Tarasenko doesn't do one-timers.
He doesn't really.
Petrangelo does a really weak one-timer. The only guy that does it fairly well on this team is Parayko, and he's not on the power play.
Right. Yeah, Milbury pointed that out. He wanted guys to set up for one-timers, and you're like, well.
That's great. Is Alex Ovechkin on the team?
Right. We don't have Ovechkin. We don't have Line A.
Right. All right.
But, yeah.
Gibby says, guys, after this season, they need to trade Petro. He is a defensive liability. He's been good offensively this playoffs.
He's had some struggles.
He is under contract through the next year as well.
Yes.
And then he's a free agent, and he's going to want about $8 million, and you're not going to touch that. So he's going to be gone after next season no matter what. Would you try to trade him? I wouldn't. This year, the way things have come together, I think you try to keep this team together as much as possible with the chemistry that they've been able to.
Look, Petro's had some really bad moments. He's had a few.
Well, last night we saw it on display.
Yeah. I mean, he's had some really bad ones where even I'm yelling, what are you doing out there? You're spinning around. You're turning the puck over at the blue. A veteran knows better than to pinch in and get caught at the blue line and then get on a breakaway the other way. But there's been some other times where he's come up with a big goal. The game against Winnipeg, the last road game, he was bad early.
Yeah.
But he found a way to score and help get the Blues get the win. That was a night Maroon scored, I think, late in the Blues won. It was the Schwartz game where he scored late to win the game. The back and forth before. It was game 5.
Yeah.
So he's got his moments where he's been really bad, which is uncharacteristically bad for him. But you need guys on defense that have some veteran leadership that can play a little bit. You can question it if you want. I'd rather have him on this team than not have him on this team. Because here's the other side of this, TJ. If he leaves, you need another body to fill that hole.
Yeah, I don't know what Delzato's contract is. A lot of people have actually been clamoring for him not to be replacing Petro here, but to be playing some in the playoffs. And that's usually if Edmondson was out or Bertuzzo was out and whoever.
There's a reason why he's not playing.
He's only played 1 or 2 games this year, and he sucked in both of them.
Right.
D3M4, TJ, need to rewatch last night's game. 91 looked good. He's starting to put it together.
I thought he was better in the second – or the last period, not necessarily the first two.
See, I actually thought he looked better in the first period. Okay. Everybody looked good in the third period. But
that's because they play Blues hockey.
Right.
Get the puck in.
The Blues are not a flashy They are never going to look like the Tampa Bay Lightning in the regular season. Like, that's just not who they are. It's going to be a really, really ugly turnover-laden neutral zone. I mean, they are going to have constant pressure on you. It's going to be ugly. And they don't come in there and make 15 great moves and get wide-open nets. They grind out goals. And that's what the Blues have been for a while now.
That's why you got all these one-goal games that they win.
Yeah,
that's right. They're not – they're not – a Pittsburgh Penguins when they're going right. They're not an 80 Oilers team that's just going to fly up and down the ice and outscore you. This is how they got to win games. It took forever for them to figure it out. They thought they're going to play a little more wide-open style when Mike Yeo was here, and we all saw what happened there. Berube took a while to go, hey, it's north-south. Let's get the puck down below the red line and start cycling the puck.
Gibby says, Cam was on the morning show yesterday, and he said O'Reilly is not injured. And then the 314 chimes in and says, rumor has it Ryan O'Reilly has a broken finger. I'm telling you, this is not the Ryan O'Reilly that we have seen
through the regular season. He's not quite there.
I'm talking face-offs only. That's what I'm talking. So forget, he's skating fine. I don't think he's got a lower body injury.
Right.
I don't think he's got a broken foot like some of the guys that they've played against here. I think the broken finger thing makes sense, or the, you know, partially maybe a fractured wrist, something like that. Where you're like, there's something throwing you off. It's not going to change your whole game, but there's something throwing you off to where the major advantage of being the guy that won the most faceoffs in the NHL this year all of a sudden cannot win a faceoff.
Well, at this point, it would put it past him, but he's going to play through it.
Absolutely.
You know,
Back has played with a broken foot back in 16.
Right. Like, all guys, these guys are going to who is it? Rupe Hintz played with a fracture in Game 7 against the Blues.
Yeah, that's right. I can't believe he got his foot in that skate. Let's see. The Bo Weevil of Bevo Mill. Guys, love the Blues game. Don't wish to be the wet blanket here. However, I'm perplexed by what David Perron was thinking on the power play at the end of the second period.
He held on to the puck
in the faceoff circle after being set up for a one-timer with 12 seconds left and just held it. Try and bury at 57.
Agreed 100%.
Yeah.
I was yelling at the TV, and I said the same thing. What the heck was he doing?
Mm-hmm.
You got 3 seconds left. You throw the puck on goal.
Right.
He's been a little disappointing to me.
Yeah.
He's one of the guys that I...
Not a huge fan of his beard either.
No, he'll have his moments, but as a veteran guy, I would like to see a little more consistency from him in terms of there are times I'm not sure what the effort level is. I've seen a couple times I'm like, well...
He's still your best guy in the corners, and I don't think it's particularly close.
When he brings it. But there are times when he doesn't bring it, you're going, well, if you're not going to get out there, then get the hell out of the way.
Yeah.
He hasn't been very good on the power play either. That's one of the reasons
for
a lot of the struggles. Yeah, okay, they're going to try and take away 91. He's on the other side, and he's just not getting that
chance.
Watch
the power play, though, Jim. They're not taking away 91. 91's a floater. He's doing nothing. He's on the backside,
and he's never getting the puck. Agreed.
And then when he does get the puck, he sort of skates around, looks, and then tosses it back to the point. And he does that over and over and over. And then when he tries to force it, it's an easy block. It happens routinely. He has to move. You watch guys all the time that float around. Winnipeg's power play last year was spectacular. And we watched Paul Stastny go and be a part of that power play. And you're like, so what's the difference here? And everybody was moving without the puck all the time. So instead of – it's like they're playing against a zone defense in basketball and you can just shoot three-pointers. That's not how a power play is supposed to look.
You mentioned the movement. When the final power play of the night, when I talked about he changed the personnel.
Yeah.
There was guys moving.
Mm-hmm.
There was guys. There was puck was trying to get cycled down low. Was getting back up to the point. It was Dunn and Parayko, two defensemen back there. He had I can't remember the exact personnel, but I know 57 wasn't on that group, and they were just moving the puck differently instead of, like you said, more casual. When those guys are attacking, speaking of San Jose, like they do,
mm-hmm.
you got to move it quick. You can't just be casual with it. You got to move it and get to the next guy because you got. You got one more than they do. There's always got to be somebody open.
That's interesting because usually they're on the breakaway. Doug's yes. Prison Wallet says, who is surprised by Milbury's – okay, thank you. Who is surprised by Milbury's effort at commentating when he was a coach who went into the fans and beat one with a shoe? Dude is not all the way there.
He's straight
trash, B.
Milbury's an interesting guy. He doesn't care of what anybody else thinks. He
doesn't care about hockey either. Did you listen to the broadcast? Look, I am not one of the people who stand up here. In fact, I defended the guys who were broadcasting the second round. But last night was disgraceful.
It's rough watching some NBCs. I think even their camera coverage lax.
Yeah. Hey, the puck's over there, bro.
I need that. I need to see a little bit more what's going on behind the play. There are things that are happening that you're like, oh, that happened. You go, well, how about having a camera show me what took place?
Right.
And they just don't do that.
Or when they can't see anything and they're like, check out the hands on, who was it, Pavelski?
Yes.
Check out the hands of Pavelski. And they turn around and the puck hit him in the butt.
Yes.
Check out the hands. What are you talking about?
Yeah, what? It. Those.
They're not good.
They need more work.
I think they should do it how they do it in the basketball national championship oftentimes, where they will be a Blues broadcast and a Sharks broadcast. And you can choose to watch either one because these national broadcasts are disgraceful.
I would love for the guys at Fox Sports Midwest to get their chance.
Just put them on NBC. Panger does it anyway. Yeah. He's on some NBC broadcasts. Well,
and I don't remember the year, but for a long time, you could the home broadcast go through the first two rounds. It's not that way now after the first round.
Yeah, NBC he goes through the first round.
Everything. They should at least get the second round out of it. Plus, then we wouldn't have nights where you go, well, we can't find the game on a satellite, so guess what? You don't get to see that game until this other game ends in overtime.
The national guys are a great step-back view of the game in general. Let them be that. Thank you. Let them be that, right? Let Jeremy Roenick do the post-game. I'm all about that. But I want to hear what's actually going on from guys that know the team. And it was disgraceful. And
it's rough.
And it truly was one-sided yesterday. Like, I'm not the guy banging on the NBC broadcast all the time. I don't typically think they're that good, but you have a general reprieve. After goals yesterday, they were like, oh, man, didn't see that one going in. Like, what?
they lack a lot. I'll just leave it at that. They've done a lot of faux pas. They put the young lady Coyne in a horrible position.
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't her fault.
Kendall Coyne, she was awful.
She was put in a terrible position, and they failed her, not her failing them.
Some more text here, 855-282-8255. Your thoughts are welcome. The 3-4 says, this isn't lacrosse, DP57. You don't retain possession to start the third.
Yes, good call.
Gibby says, the Blues have a couple stud defensemen in the minors. One is bigger than Pareko. Apparently not ready yet, though. And they're top six at any given time, especially when guys are healthy. That hit from Bertuzzo yesterday was a paralyzing hit. The one coming back on his own
That's
blue line.
That's what you
line.
Need to do, yeah.
That is the type.
I think Sorensen might have got that one.
He and Edmondson bring that to some degree. You're never going to get that from Pareko. Petro will kind of knock you over from time to time, but doesn't offer a whole lot. Vince Dunn actually has been known to flat back you on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
But just in general, you're not going to get it from some guys. And you don't need all of your defensemen to be a bunch of guys from the 1980s.
Yeah, you're not a headhunter every time. No. But when it's presented, you take advantage of it.
The 3-1-4, shoot the puck. Carlos Danger says, I'm really kind of surprised, given his love of wieners, Hadley hasn't spent the past 5 days in the Bay Area.
Okay.
Flashback Deuce, I bet Petro would be great at a carnival gun range. Even when he's making an easy pass, he plunks the guy right in front of him.
Who's that, Pareko?
Petro would be a great carnival gun
Petro.
Range.
I don't think
Go
John,
ahead, Rock.
I don't think John likes vegan hot dogs.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Just saying.
But honestly, when there's that many, you just
that's
roll
fair.
It.
That's fair.
The Petro thing is just
those
frustrating.
Hills, though? Oh, man.
Westbrook Wonderboy, it's all about pressure, penalty kill. The Blues went high pressure in the third against San Jose Power Play, and San Jose couldn't get the zone.
Well,
that is
he brings up a great point. Here's the other side of the power play for San Jose. They weren't very good coming into this series.
Right.
Traditionally, they
I don't know if you watched the third period against Vegas. They scored goals.
Well, that's what I said. But overall, yeah, as a group, they have not. And the other thing about that, they even said, Couture said it last night in the game. He said, you know, we haven't been good since we had that game against Vegas.
And they were very good prior to that.
Right. So traditionally, they have one of the best power plays in the league. But coming into this series, they were not that great against Colorado.
They look good when the Blues get so many penalties that they only got three guys in the ice.
Well, yeah, 5-on-3.
And that's what happened there
difference.
When Pavelski scored in the first goal. Have you ever heard of the 1-3-5 rule?
1-3-5, I have not.
Rock? No. The 1-3-5 rule. Yes, you have. When you go into a bathroom and the urinals.
Leave space.
1-3-5, right? You don't ever go.
Leave a spot.
next to a guy. If there's there's 15
okay,
urinals.
We're talking about spacing. Okay.
15 urinals and
yeah,
you labeled
don't go
one.
Right next to
you're not going.
Guy. Hey, what's up, buddy?
Right.
Yeah. No, that doesn't.
It's different at games when they're all taken. But anyway, so the 3-on-4 sends in the a picture of the urinals, and the Sharks are at if you're going numbers 1 through 15, they're at number 2, and NBC Sports walks up and they're all open, but he goes to number 3. They're what you call ween peeking. Hey, Hockey Bob, you folks have curves on all the time. He has addressed every concern y'all have. Why do you even ask him about these things if you're not going to take the assessment of things? He is way more knowledgeable than any of you about hockey except for Hadley and Hewer. So here's the question. First of all, it's a direct shot at me and Rock. Second of all.
Also, 1-3-5 stab.
Somebody taking a shot at curbs?
No, he's taking a shot at me and Rock. Here's what he's saying. Here's what he's saying. If somebody knows hockey and they tell you something, you need to change your opinion immediately because they're right all the time. That's what Hockey Bob's saying.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
So differing opinions from smart people don't exist. Smart people think the exact same thing.
Curbs is incredibly smart.
I can appreciate you wanting to value people with knowledge, but there's more than one way to skin a cat, no matter what.
How about this? Smart people are wrong all the time. That's why smart people don't agree on everything.
And especially in sports. Especially in sports. The worst argument in sports is somebody goes, well, I mean, they wouldn't be the GM of a team if they didn't know what they were doing. I reject that logic. I reject that
logic
entirely.
Sometimes you go,
I reject it.
This is when you know you've won an argument. When a guy has to say, I've been doing this for 30 years. Well, if you've been doing it for 30 years and you were right, you'd have a better argument than the dumbass argument you're throwing out right now.
Yes.
How about you beat me with your argument? Try that. Cousin Rude Poodle says, did you guys notice the mountain unmasked bears a striking resemblance to Hadley? Mountain is a little more handsome, though.
The mountain looked pretty cool, actually. I thought he had a legit look.
Doug's Prison Walled, it pales in comparison to the crew working the East games 100 times better. That is true. The East games have been great.
Well, for me, anytime you get Doc Emmerich doing a hockey game, that's...
It ricocheted off the...
Yeah. He
says ricocheted 19. He has a quota.
Here's what I like about him, and some people, I'm getting a little nerdy here with evaluating a broadcaster, but one, he does a phenomenal job, because you always have to remember there are people that are watching the game for the first time, and he does a phenomenal job of, in a simple way explaining to you if you don't know what the heck's going on, whether it's icing or a certain play, and he knows when to get excited and when not to. You just let him do his thing. He's as good as it gets.
Did Hockey Bob tell him it was okay to get excited? Or
I know there are – the other side is there are a lot of people that don't like that he uses certain phrases.
Ricocheted 37 times a game.
No excitement, no emotion. This is sports, TJ. What are you doing?
No, I think Emmerich's the best.
No, why would you?
I like Olchek with him. Olchek is kind of straightforward.
Yeah. I love Olchek.
The East has been infinitely better.
Yeah, the downside sometimes for me still is they still have to think they need to put Pierre on both games every night. Like, I don't need him. Put Micheletti in the box.
Ooh, I have a better option. How about Pierre on neither game?
Well, that would be great.
Darren Pang is just watching the games from home. Could we watch him on a Periscope?
Yes, let Darren do it. A good call.
We need to talk to Cam, because Hoffman had the idea that we need to start having Cam during away games broadcast his reactions to the game. And I'm disappointed we hadn't thought of that, because you think about how Cam watches the games when he's surrounded by all his animals. And he always talks about how he'll jump up in the middle of the game and they'll all scatter. The meaning and gift potential of a Cam live stream of an away game is so high. We can't leave this on the table.
Jim, it's called
Animals,
a GIF.
Blues game?
It's called a GIF.
I've heard this discussion before.
TJ's
Splashback Dude says,
GIFs for years.
The national guys sound like they won the lottery when the other team does well, and they sound like their dog died when the Blues score.
Yeah, you know what?
It's kind of true. That is absolutely true about last night. You can go listen to all the goals, and that is 100% true about last night. When Vince Dunn scored that goal, they kind of said, what the hell? When Bertuzzo scored, they're like, yeah, but he couldn't do that again.
I'll be honest with you. What I saw, even when Bertuzzo scored, I'm still sitting there going, how the heck did he do that?
Okay, that's but then your job as an announcer is to say, what in the hell just happened? Not, oh, wow, Bertuzzo. Ah.
But
he couldn't do that again.
I'm glad he did. I don't think he could do it twice.
Okay, but have an enjoyable broadcast, right? It's like I don't need – I'm totally fine with you being excited when the Sharks score, and then do it when the Blues score too. Or give us a local broadcast so we don't have to listen to your crap.
I would like to have the local side, but we don't, so we just deal with it. I know going in that Pierre's not going to give me anything I'm interested in, and Milbury's just going to be Milbury. He just doesn't care. He's just there. He gets his check. He's – going to say silly things just to tick you off.
Altie says, in the team's home market, local broadcast should be available in addition to the I don't think I can say that word on the radio, on NBC. Yeah, I've said it before, and I've been told I can't say
it.
Yeah,
we probably don't want
to. Tim says the amount of time Schwartz had to shoot on that first goal was unbelievable. There were four Sharks just standing there watching him. He was right in the slot, and that was a pick-your-corner type. By the way, that's something that he would have missed a goal on entirely for about the first 82 games of the year. Schwartz has really dialed it in.
He even kind of double-clutched it a little bit. If you go back and watch it in slow motion, he kind of double-clutched it and then ripped it over his shoulder. Good. Glad they decided to give him all the space.
3-on-4, I like when the announcers talked about how the Blues weren't able to forecheck the Sharks when they said the Blues had the puck in the Shark zone and were up 2-0.
Well, I mean, clearly it was a giant fluke. Guys, come on.
They're right about that. The Blues really haven't a chance to get their forecheck because the Sharks are so good at getting the puck out of the zone. They actually said that when the Blues were up 2-0, controlling the game. CB and MV.
I'll say this, though. I really thought the Blues were getting outplayed and they were up 2-0.
See, I just
honestly, at this point, I
because they were still turning, they were. Still,
but so were they, right? The point is that we are so critical of our own team. The Sharks didn't turn it over, so they won 6-3, and then they did, and the Blues hammered them.
Listen, nobody is needlessly biased. At this point, I'm convinced they have a clause in their contract that they get bonuses for the ratings. That's the only thing I can think about is because they're like, well, we don't want the Blues to win because then we're going to have a Stanley Cup with the Blues and those ratings are going to be bad. Now we're not getting our bonus check. It's not happening. It's not a real thing. But honestly, see no reason why they're being this
There's
biased.
An easy one because San Jose's cooler than St. Louis if you have to travel somewhere.
I guess so.
San Jose's a great place to travel all the time.
Trust me, they don't want Carolina coming back and winning that series.
No. They Boston,
ratings
Boston San Jose is their best ratings pool.
Yeah, the difference
And it's better weather.
St. Louis kills in the ratings. But
well, yeah. On the
locally, it does very well.
There are infinitely more people in California watching than in Missouri. CB and MV sends us a nice
San Jose fans
Petbridge Farm Alex Petrangelo turnover.
Instead of
here.
An apple turnover? It's
yeah.
Do you remember when Alex Petrangelo was a good defender? Petbridge Farm remembers.
JP from St. Charles, my opinion may change, but not the fact that I am right.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Doug's prison wallet. I bet Daddy Padre could win a faceoff or two, just saying. And Don Jewish. Thought I heard Micheletti on with Frank last week say that he's on games 3 and 4, so we will get a break from Pierre now.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Look, Joel is a former Blue. He learned his craft here, went on to New York, has done very well for himself. I think he's as good as it gets. He's one of the first guys in that position who really became well-spoken, and you went, wow, this guy's got it. And he started right here in St. Louis.
Yep, pretty good. So a lot of stuff there from the Blues, but the bottom line is they got it together in the third period, and if the Blues can play forget the result of the third period. Obviously, it was really good. If they can play that style, they win this series, and they win it in six.
I don't know about six, but I think they win the series because that's – the successful way they play games. And they have proven to me, at least, no matter who they're playing, when they're doing that well, they'll beat anybody.
Well,
I mean, it goes back to, like I said, the elimination game against Winnipeg and Dallas. They dominated the game. Dallas just didn't score. And they did it again in the third period where they dominated the game, didn't give up chances. And they've proven to me enough that they can beat anybody playing that style when they're doing it properly.
I think that is exactly right here. Jaden Schwartz, in 69 regular season games, had 11 goals. In 15 playoff games, he has had 9 goals. He is a +5 rating in the playoffs. He has been unbelievable. And it's a good thing because if he didn't pick up this slack, they're truly not here. Obviously, that game
not.
5 against Winnipeg says it all, where he had the natural hat trick. But all in all, he has had to pick up the slack that Tarasenko has dropped.
But that's part of it, though.
It is.
If you get on a run, there's somebody that happened. I mean, Jake Guentzel had a phenomenal run a couple of years ago for Pittsburgh. Nobody said, Jake Guentzel's the guy that's going to lead the Penguins. They're saying Malkin and Crosby. There's always somebody who makes a run and who just kind of offsets the production you're not getting from someone else.
We are going to go to break. Hey, we're at Maggie O'Brien's here. Come check it out. We have a drawing for some tickets. Is it 2 tickets, Rock? 2 tickets to the Bud Light Zone.
Yes, for Wednesday's game 3 as the Blues look to take a 2-1 lead.
And that'll be really good. So you got to show up here. We're at Sunset Hills. Yes. Tomorrow we're going to be the one on Market Street. Maggie yes. O'Brien's for both of them. And what they have going on here, you come in here, you put a drawing. We have a bucket right here on the table. If you call that a bucket, I don't think I would.
No, this is an official this is an official
napkin holder.
This is an official entry holder, I believe, is what we should
entry
call it. Look how official
holder.
That is. Like, come on, TJ, look how official that
it
is.
It looks like you took the napkins up. And so we have a napkin holder that you guys.
You couldn't get napkins out of this slot. That's official. It's an entry
Cam?
Box.
Yo, okay. So we're
Cam
doing
Jansen, join us.
We're doing this today, so you can put your name in there. And by the way, this is free booze and food.
Free food, boom.
Ooh, so you take a
wow.
date there.
It's
like
the green
seats
the Cardinals.
Exactly. Okay. Chill.
And find the hottest guy you know.
Yes. Hottest
and you
guy.
You bring him.
Go. Yeah, yeah. Just know that you're going to win these tickets, and you can take a date there, and you'll have free food, free booze. It's right by the ice, so you're not way up top in a
yep,
box.
Yep.
You're still in the heat of things.
Cool.
You can feel the emotion of the game.
3828 South Lindbergh today.
Yes.
Swing by here. You get one entry for coming in. You get a second entry if you're rocking blues gear.
Yeah.
And make sure to post on social media, either Twitter or Facebook, with 5-9 Fan and Maggie O's to let us know that you entered in so you can be.
You cannot win if
yes.
you do not also post that you are entered and tag 590 and Maggie O'Brien's on social media. That is what validates your entry.
We'll tweet that out, too.
If you do that beforehand, you come in and show us, we'll give you a third entry.
Oh wow!
Boom, boom, boom.
And we're picking the winner.
We'll pick it tomorrow, right at 3 p.m.
Cool.
Gives you a nice little solid four or five hours to get ready and get down there. For
game
be
starts
an
at seven
game.
When it
Sorry,
should
four
start.
4 hours to get
yes.
down there.
7 o'clock, both Wednesday and Friday.
Yeah.
So there you go. We have a Blues jersey walking in now.
He knows what's up.
Would
he
imagine
knows what's up.
Is trying to.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, let me talk about our friends at Royal Banks who helped finance and was a key
yes,
player
sir.
In these new sheets of ice going up. The whole complex
sure.
Up in Maryland Heights, that's going to be pretty spectacular. Still on track, I think, for a September
yeah.
opening
yeah,
for
yeah, yeah.
the new Blues practice facility. That's all thanks to Royal Banks, who takes care of those in St. Louis and made sure that was able to happen. Go support them as they support us in our city. Full service bank, 11 neighborhood locations, and a full mobile banking place. So go check them out. They can offer you anything you need. Full commercial lending department, a home equity line of credit that is also important. And Carol Hoffer is her name. You can call them 314-212-1500. Get yourself on board. RoyalBanksOfMo.com. Royal Banks of Missouri, where better service means better banking. Member FDIC and equal housing lender. We're at Maggie O's Sunset Hills. And our friend Eddie McVeigh is here as well, looking great in his suit. We will be back in just a few minutes. It's Hardline.